you teach gentleness, love comes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. You teach gentleness, love comes. Now think about it. When little children have babies come in the family, mother has to teach the little children, that's not a doll, that's not a toy, that's a baby. And the baby can't do anything for itself just yet. It just has to be loved. It just has to do its cycle and be loved. And training the children to be gentle with the baby is the first step for training the children to love it. Mother, daddy, not mother. Mother doesn't do this. Daddy does this. Daddy brings home a puppy for the kids. And so the kids say, wow, a puppy, something to play with. They drag the puppy around by its ears like they did with their teddy bears and with their rabbits and stuff like that. They play rabbits. And they try to pull the dog's tail and they try to do all sorts of things. And father says, hey, that's cool. Here, take a hammer and hit him on the head. You'll kill him. He'll be dead forever. No, the father doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't even indicate such nonsense. Father says, hey, this is a little guy you're gentle with. You're gentle with. How would you like somebody to pull on your ear? And, no, I don't want that. Well, he doesn't want it either. So be gentle with the little puppy dog. Now, what do you do to tell the puppy dog you like him? I pet him. Okay. And that's pet him. Now, the more gentle you pet the puppy, the more the puppy knows you love him. If you take your hands and vigorously rub the puppy and vigorously play with the puppy and vigorously do things, the puppy's going to be a roughneck. He's going to grow up to be a roughneck. He's not going to be a gentle puppy. But the more gentle you are with the puppy, the more the puppy is going to be gentle with you and with all of life. Now, so as the father teaches these things, the mother doesn't. Mother doesn't have time for that. She's got too many things to do. So it's always the father who does this. The father who teaches the children to be gentle with one another. He says, and he knows how to do it. And the children are rough with one another, roughnecks. And the father said, come on, let's knock each other block off. Well, 99 to 100% of the parents in the world, the fathers, are not roughnecks. They are not warriors. It's only that one-tenth, 1% that are warriors, and they are the ones who make up the armies of the world, and they are the... Really? Yeah. Yes. Is the majority of the population in service? Is the majority of the population in prison? Is the majority of the population in the hospital? No. It's a teensy-weensy little bit. Now, so that's just a teensy-weensy little bit. Now, what would every father love to have their children do? Every father would love to have their children be gentle to one another, be gentle to their mother, respect their mother and respect their father, respect their brothers and sisters, respect the family. And so the father teaches that. But it's taught by gentleness. Now, I told Ellen, I said, Ellen, give yourself the energy massage, but do it very gently. Do it for 2 weeks very gently. So Ellen got in there and gave herself an energy massage enough to that an elephant would feel it, you know. Oh, she wanted to feel it so good. Oh, it feels so good when you stop. But you see, if you always are gentle, if you always are tender and loving, if you always are thoughtful, and if you always are just wonderfully gentle, if you always are, then everything in your life is going to be gentle. But if you are vigorous and if you are dominant and if you are overwhelming, you're that tiny majority of the population that rules the world and that likes to be militaristic and so forth. a tiny portion. The majority of humanity love gentleness. Truly, if you stop and think about it, and this is a terrible thing to think about, if you think about sex, sex and its combination is just a teensy-weensy little percent of the relationship that a man has with a woman, and a woman has with a man. You understand that? A teensy-weensy little percent. The rest of it is all foreplay. It's all gentleness, it's all lovingness, it's all caringness. It's all the bringing of flowers, it's all the tender kisses, it's all the tender thoughtfulnesses. You know, it's the gentlenesses. Now, the more we teach our children to be gentle, the more they will be gentle. When an animal does something wrong, you want to kick it. You want to kick it. But what would Cesar Moreno say? Cesar would say, you stand there and you put your chest out and you say, hey, look, I'm the boss here. Relax. Cool it. Cesar knows that if you kick, you just get a bite back. So you want to get your total awareness of who you are, that you're the master. So when the children lovingly play with their pets, the pets don't expect to have a fight and a battle. The pet seldom bites its own master. The pet is always gentle, if the master is gentle. So now, we're talking about Rex and his bigness as a dog and his training to always chase after things that are running around like squirrels and rabbits and kittens and cats and other things, and he wants to chase them. And yet, we go down to Doggy Beach, which is a beach at which dogs of every description come, and Rex doesn't go and try to chew them up. He goes and investigates them and loves them, and he says, hi, you know. Because the consciousness of the beach is only love. There's a sign at the beach. It says, if your dog does not know how to behave at Doggy Beach, don't bring him here, because we'll call the police to take him away. Only dogs that are loving, gentle, kind, caring, that know how to act in public. Just like you wouldn't want your children to go out in public and take their guns along and then shoot anybody that they want to shoot that irritates them, you know. You see, we train our children to be loving and gentle. We train ourselves to be loving and gentle. And so, if we're going to think, right now we're in the market for getting some kittens for our homes here at the monastery. We have 6 houses and we'd like to have some kittens around to keep down the other population. We bought some powder, which is supposed to be offensive to the mice and keep them away, and not kill them, but just keep them away and keep them away from our house. Well, that's what kittens and cats do. They keep away the mice from the house. If the mice want to come in the house, they're fair game. This is not your house. Out, out, out. I say to the rattlesnakes who would like to be living in the beautiful rocky hillsides around here, I say, you go play in a BLM land out there. There's thousands and thousands of acres and hundreds of square miles. You go play there. And here on the monastery grounds, this is grounds where people come to meditate, and we don't want them to get shook up by seeing somebody that they're not familiar with, you know. So let them alone. What would happen if a little kitten would come up to you while you're meditating? The little kitten would irritate you. The little kitten would irritate you because you'd have to pet it. You couldn't continue with your meditation because you'd have to pet it. Meow, meow. It would sit in your lap and jump in your lap and crawl up and snuggle on your face, you know. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that the way you create kittens? Well, let's just create kittens doing that with Rex. Let's just create the kittens and Rex getting along just beautifully. Rex has never had an opportunity to be trained to love and be gentle with kittens or anything else. Now, generally speaking, he's good with dogs. Oh, when the neighbor dogs are out at play, he wants to jump up and down and say, "Hey, I want to come play with you guys too. Come on, you know." And then he runs at the dogs, and he's big and they're a little smaller, and they look at him and they say, "Oh, whoop, 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 whoop." But then they stop because they can't outrun him. And they do their smelling of each other, and they say, "Okay, you're okay." You know, and so then they play together. But Rex really doesn't want to be in their environment, because Rex senses what their home environment is. And Rex senses what their anxieties are and what their worries are. And he doesn't want them in his life. So he says, "Okay, guys, see you." And he goes off with his master and lives a life of peace and pleasantness. Now, all of you at the monastery have chosen to come here because you wanted to reveal your spiritual awareness of yourself. And all of you are afraid of your shadow. You're afraid of your shadow. You're afraid that if you have a challenging situation, "Oh dear, what shall I do? Oh dear, what shall I do?" And you run with your tail between your legs, and that's the worst thing you can ever do. You put your tail between your legs, and that means you're frightened as can be, and you're scared as a rabbit, and you're off to nothing, and you're going to accomplish nothing. Okay, if you cannot learn how to train a dog and a cat to get along together, if you cannot train people to get along together here at the monastery, if you cannot train our grass to grow, if we cannot train the border patrol people when they come on this property, by our thought, that they drive not over our lawns and not over our sacred park areas that we try to keep open and nice. We'll make a border of stones around so that they will see that. And if they drive over the border of stones, our gates are going to be bolted. And they can walk on our property, but they won't be able to drive their vehicles on it. You understand? No. But is that necessary?
No.
With our stones, with our so forth, they won't. Now, why do we have to have the stones? Well, because of one little thing, and this is what you're going through right now. Have we had cats? Were these cats able to get along just fine?
Yes.
Did they get along just fine because you said they got along just fine, or because perhaps somebody else's consciousness said they got along just fine?
No, we knew them.
No, you didn't know. No, you didn't know. Every minute you were frightened, you know, that something would catch them. Listen to me. Okay. Don't be so incredulous. Every minute you were frightened that a coyote might get them, or something might get them, or they're out foraging around, looking over the countryside, enjoying their domain, and that something terrible might, a mountain lion might come along or something, you know. And you see, you're afraid of these things. But if this property is surrounded by your pure white light of love, what else can be out there but love? To me, it makes no difference whether animals are here or not here, whether animals are alive or dead, whether people are alive or dead, whether I'm alive or dead, that makes no difference. I teach you guys the difference. I am number one. And if I'm not number one, then what I am? Okay, now, teach gentleness, love comes. We teach ourselves gentleness. And love comes. Do you think that Caesar Milan, who raises these dogs and does these things, is doing so with a whip?
No.
Do you think that he beats the dogs, he kicks the dogs, he hates the dogs? No. He showers the dogs with what?
Love.
No.
With respect.
No. Come, don't you remember the term that he used all the time? Mm-hmm. What term did he use? Come on. I mean, here you've watched all of his series of lectures and you don't even remember. Well, I'm not going to tell you. But what he said was you have to be
the alpha dog, the boss.
You have to be the master. You have to be in charge. And you say, hey, just a minute. Now, karate is the most stupid sport in the world, right?
No.
What does karate teach you? It teaches you to be aware and alert of who you are and never to be touched by anything that does not appeal to you. If a fist comes your way, you're not there. If anxiety comes your way, you're not there. You are at peace. Now, why you would create yourself an anxious area and a fist area or something, that's another story. But the thing is, that is the, what would you call it, the essence of a school. Because they want to teach you how to be immune to anything other than your world. Now, what is your world? Peace. What is your world? Gentleness. What is your world? Love. If you ever allow anybody to come into your world and shake you up, you're nothing. You're nothing. You're a coward. You're nothing. But if anything comes into your world and somebody puts a gun to your head and says, I'm going to shoot you, and you can say to them, hey, you got the gun. That's silly to shoot me. You're not worried. You're not worried because death does not frighten you. Anger and viciousness does not frighten you. That's not in your world. It may be appearing to be in your world, but you just say to the person, you look them in the eye and you say, that's up to you. You know? It's a terrible thing to do for you to make the world after you for killing another person. You know? You don't think of yourself being killed. You don't. The minute you start thinking of yourself being killed, you're killed, and then you're out of the game. And a lot of people play that game. But that's up to you. It's terrible. And you don't have to lie. The man wants to rape the woman, and she says, gee, it'd be nice to have sex. I haven't had sex since I got HIV, you know. And he says, what? And then he wouldn't touch her. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to lie. You don't have to say that you have HIV. You don't have to say such stupid things. You don't create yourself in a situation where you are being challenged by what your morals are. Are you tantalizing someone to approach you and abuse you? Are you choosing to do that? You see, if we are going to learn how to raise kittens and have them be in a happy environment, you have to do it. Now, over the years, I did it here. And then we let the cats go so we could start out fresh and let you do it. Now, you're in graduate school. You're ready to make that big test. In many homes, they raise cats and dogs together, and they get along just beautiful. Why? Because the little children are loving them. And when a dog comes and wants to pull on your teddy bear, and he pulled your way and you pulled your way, no, that's my teddy bear, no. I have my teddy bear. Now, love my teddy bear. And take your teddy bear and pet it with your dog. And pretty soon your dog will respect the teddy bear. But that's what children do. Now, they say, dogs have a maternal instinct when a baby is around. Well, they have a maternal instinct. But when you have a maternal instinct, if nobody had a maternal instinct around the babies, the dog wouldn't either. The dog is a very powerful, very wonderful picture of what our attitudes are. Now, are we going to teach Rex gentleness with these cats that we're going to get here? Or are we going to make excuses that, well, let's see now, we've got to have a cage for them first, we've got to have a house for them first, we've got to have a place for them first, we've got to have this for them first, we've got to have that for them first. Well, now, what have we got over at the Shangri-La? We have maybe three or four dog cages that you put a dog in to take it between the vet and whatever, and you can wash them out. They should be washed out anyhow. And bring them over here and let Ingeborg wash them out and clean them out really nice. Clean them up. Spray them so they're all fresh with the new attitude, not the old. And then make a place in the garage, here, this garage, where you want to have them. And keep the cats in their cage. Feed them in their cage, have their little thing in their cage, and we have this big metal frame cage, you know, that you put around them, you understand? And that we can have in one corner where they can have room to walk around and so forth. But have them get used to us. Have them get used to it. This is where they belong. They shouldn't just have freedom of the whole garage, because then they'll hide in the corners and you can't get to them and you can't teach them that they're loved. You understand? This is a matter of all of us loving them. And then Rex is going to be coming in too. And he sees them and he sees how we love them. But they're behind their cage. They're all in their secure place. And he learns to respect them. Now, can he do that? Sure. Can you do that? Sure. Now, the longer you put it off, the more you're going to make the project more difficult for yourself. Because if you do it naturally, simply, beautifully, it's done. If you don't, then it's not done. And the cats will survive perfectly well on milk for a couple of days until you get cat food or whatever else for you want for them. And all of these other things will happen perfectly well. But the opportunity is given to you now to take it. I could have gotten cats many times before now, but I didn't, because your consciousness was fearful. You're fearful of yourself. You're fearful of what attitude you're going to think when you see the cats and when you see the dog and the cats. What attitude you're going to have in your mind? Do you have an attitude of gentleness and peace? Do you see Rex being loving? Or do you shout at Rex? Do you say, come Rex, meet our new kittens. Aren't they wonderful? They're going to be in our house now. Yeah, they're going to help you catch the mice or keep the mice out of the house. Isn't that wonderful? And you'll say, well, now, I don't know. Last time I saw a cat, I chased it, you know. Well, we're going to have a new Rex now. A new relationship where you don't chase the cats. You sort of run with them, you know. Hi, aww, birds. See how the sparrows are sitting up there? They're saying all the food is out of the hummingbird feeder there. And there's no tray up there for them to have corn and things like that for sparrows to have food, you know. And we really want to have sparrows around here, don't we? Yeah. So, now, what do you want to have around here? What do you want to have? Are you all big enough to teach gentleness? Are you all big enough to be patient and have love come? Are you all big enough to be so loving, so wonderful, so beautiful, that it's not even a thought of anything other than gentleness and lovingness? Because I tell you, I know what your Achilles heels are. Each one of you has an Achilles heel. I know what it is. And if you don't play this game well, I'm going to throw your Achilles heel at you again and again and again, strongly, 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 strongly. And your life is going to be very rotten. Because until you are loving and gentle to yourself, until you believe in yourself, you're worth nothing. Until you say, I like me, 100 million times a day. Until you take time for meditation, which you don't do. You don't do. I know. I know what you're doing when you're alone. I know what you're doing. I'm right in your hearts, right in your minds, right in your soul. And I know what you're doing. I'm not judging you. I'm just thinking, we could take the men who are in prison and bring them here, and they'd be better students than you are. Because they know what it is to have their liberty taken away from them. And you don't know what it is. And so I'll just take it away. Not put you in a cage. That's too easy. But just make you unhappy with yourself. And if you're unhappy with yourself, your whole world is meaningless. You understand? I came in the house the other day after driving the tractor all over the property, and Rex saw me, and what's the first thing he did? He leaped to the ceiling, and he ran back and forth across the rooms, and he jumped around, and he said, Dad, you're home, you're home, you're home, you're home, you're home. Was he happy?
Yes.
Was he pleased? Was he content? Am I special because he does that to me? No. I love him, and he loves me. Each in our own way. Now, do you love yourself? I can see that you don't. Because if you have any unhappiness in your, if you have any fearfulness, fear of a couple of cats in the garage, boy, what a bunch of clowns, I tell you. Now, I want you to teach gentleness, and I have asked you to do something, and I expect you to do it, and if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do it, because only interesting things will come from it. Go and get the cats this morning after you've cleaned up the breakfast set up here, and bring them over here. And in my shed next to my house, I have a cat carrier, and the big cat carriers are in the Shangri-La. And go get them, bring them outside and wash them off and scrub them off with the hose and so forth, and then dry them up and put a little piece of rug in the bottom of each one, and bring the cats here and set up their domain. And in the Shangri-La garage is that large folding metal barn, you know what I mean? And you can take that and put that anywhere you want in the garage here. We have a lot of things in our garage that don't have to be in our garage. You know that. We have equipment in our garage that could just as well be in the shed down here, you know, for how much it's used. But in any event, I'm saying these things to you. I do not want to make excuses for why you should do it. I just want to have you do it, and I want to have you do it. And if I say to you, all right, I'm teaching mathematics, and I want you to take a test. So tomorrow we're going to have a test. And so tomorrow comes, and I give you a test. And you say, I don't remember this, I don't remember this. Hey, put down what you think you remember. Well, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to look at Sylvia's or Ingeborg's or Ellen's papers, and I'm going to cheat and see what they did, and because I got to get the right answer. You don't got to get the right answer. You have to be the right answer. If you're not going to be the right answer, then don't take the course. Okay. Now, the next day I say to you, okay, pop quiz. No preparation for it. I'm just going to give you a quiz. But we didn't prepare. Well, you should do your homework, and you never have to worry. So I give you a quiz, and those of you who are relaxed and say, yeah, I enjoy math, I'm having a good time here, and I'm learning and doing it, you'll do just fine. But those of you who are fearful, turn off your intelligence quotient. You turn off your ability to think and to know and to do, and it's a silly thing. Now, I want you to turn on your gentleness, turn on your love, and recognize that this is something beautiful and something beneficial. Now, our neighbor wants to give us two cats. If we were to go down to the city, to the pound, or to the breeders, we could buy a couple cats for $100 each, and they would be spayed and all that sort of stuff, and neutered, and then shots and what have you, which is all good. And we can take them in and have that done ourselves for $200. Because we have to take them in there and we have to set them up and do these different things. Now, you say, $200? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's the way it goes. Check it out. I would think that you know cats are coming here. I would think that you would call the vet and you would find out what these costs are and what these features are and how, why it's important to do it and why it's important perhaps not to do it. But is it going to be beneficial to Rex to have spayed and neutered cats around, or is it going to be non-beneficial to Rex? And then tomorrow Rex disappears and he's not with us anymore. So then we get another dog and we have to get him taken care of, if we do, you know, or maybe we don't. But the thing is, however long Rex is here, whether he's here an hour, a week, a year, 100 years, it doesn't matter. We do these things because it's the right thing to do. Now, are you going to be the right thing to do? That's a decision that is up to you. If you love yourself, you'll love Rex, and you'll love any critter that comes into our family. Any critter. So, have a love with your two new friends today, and let's call them something. What name do you think you want to give them? Don't tell me. What name do you think you want to give them? You want to give them gentleness and love? Well, you've already got a love. So, gentleness one and gentleness two. Or whatever pleases you. Or maybe one is Ingeborg and one is Sylvia. How about that? And see how well they can get along together. They probably have no trouble at all. And make sure that you have enough milk. Okay, have a lovely day, and know that I love you so much that I would give you all the tests in the world that allow you to prove yourself to yourself that you can do it. The karate teacher doesn't pull a punch to teach you how to not be there. The karate teacher shows you how to be where you want to be in consciousness. So, enjoy. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.